Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I just feel so much gratitude with the joining together to share in this time and to strengthen these healing ideas for each other and for the entire world. What we're doing here is no small thing. So let's pause if we are doing anything to just come to a comfortable seated position. If you'd like, allowing your eyes to close and bringing attention within. Bringing our awareness to our sense of willingness. Our willingness to see differently, our willingness to not hold on to our way being the right way, whether that's a belief, a thought, or a way we think things should be done. Let's join together in the absolute freedom of withholding nothing for ourselves alone. Opening ourselves up, being willing to give it all of it, to Holy Spirit, to be repurposed, to help us wake up instead of how we previously used these things, which was to stay asleep, to stay separate. Offering that tiny willingness to Holy Spirit. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And with joy, we place Holy Spirit in charge by our request. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Beautiful. So we are going to pick up where we left off last week. We only read a paragraph last week. In the Sparkle edition, it's page 435. It's the last full paragraph on the page. It begins with the sentence, "When you feel the holiness of your relationship is threatened." That corresponds to the original edition by Course in Miracles Society. It would be chapter 18, part 6. Paragraph number 46, and that also corresponds to the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, which is chapter 18, chapter 18, part 5, paragraph number 6. Does anybody need me to repeat those page references? Sounds like we're good. All right, so we've been reading about the happy dream. The happy dream. Here we go. When you feel the holiness of your relationship is threatened by anything, stop instantly and offer the Holy Spirit your willingness, in spite of fear, to let him exchange this instant for the Holy One, which you would rather have. He will never fail in this, but forget not that your relationship is one, and so it must be that whatever threatens the peace of one is an equal threat to the other. The power of joining and its blessing lie in the fact that now it is impossible for either of you to experience fear alone or to attempt to deal with it alone. Never believe that this is necessary or even possible. Yet just as this is impossible, so is it equally impossible that the holy instant comes to either of you without the other. and it will come to both at the request of either. So never believe that dealing with fear alone is necessary or even possible, because we don't have to deal with it alone. That's why the Holy Spirit is our bridge. It's our right mind. It's our communication. It's our link to the part of our mind that has not forgotten truth. So we don't have to ever, ever deal with fear alone. I'll just share real quick that. Yes, Brian.
The illusion is, though, that you do. It's a very lonely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a lonely experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. And I will tell you that how do I want to sum this up quickly? The Course says the holy relationship is learned, and I've been getting clearer and clearer in my own relationships as to what that actually means. And I lost my train of thought. It's going to come back. Oh, no, I lost it. My gosh, the ego doesn't want me to share it.
But it's
it'll
fear.
Come back.
It's
what's
fear
that?
And it's fear and loneliness. Those two items.
Those two items is what. Yes, that's what the.
I walk the lonely road on the boulevard of broken dreams.
Woe is me. That's the dirge of sorrow of the ego. Yes, and so we find out as we're on this pathway, we're learning that it's impossible, impossible, impossible for us to be alone. And I got my train of thought back. Wow. I had an experience where I felt like I was touching the depth of the unconscious guilt that the Course says that we carry. And it was so overwhelming. I feel some tears welling up in me just thinking about it. It was so overwhelming, I felt like it could just take my breath away. And immediately, I remembered this, that we're not asked to look at this alone. We're not asked to fix it. We're just asked to look at it with Holy Spirit. So immediately, I said those words, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at this with you. And I didn't feel alone. I knew that this was coming up because it was an opportunity to look at it with Spirit, and so I moved through it. It was actually a situation that brought about a lot of gratitude in me that guilt and fear came up in the first place for me to look at with Spirit. So it's never necessary or even possible for us to deal with it alone. We need that part of our right mind, the Holy Spirit.
I gotta share something.
Please.
I live alone, and today all of the plans. I had some fun plans this weekend, and everything went out the window with this storm. So today I was like just by myself, and I was feeling kind of lonely, and that thought crossed my mind. I'm alone, and of course I had to laugh at that because I am very much aware of it. No, we are not alone, ever. Well, anyway, I gave that thought over to the Holy Spirit as soon as, I got that feeling in my gut. And I think, I'm going to just let this go. I'm not wasting my time with this thinking. And I wound up, my daughter called, and she said, I need some help with a table. Would you come over and help me take this? Her next-door neighbor, as soon as I got there, he comes out. He says, come on over for a drink. We wound up having the most fun. I'm telling you something. The Holy Spirit is so aware of everything and is so right there if we just are willing, to say, I don't have to do this. The Holy Spirit, get it off of me. And then these it's like opening the door to these possibilities. And I had no idea that any of this would take place. But wound
That's
up having
beautiful.
This really fun evening with these people. We even got a little bit tipsy. My daughter made sure she made coffee before I came home. I had coffee, and so I'm fine. But it was just, I'm so amazed by that. Every time it happens, and it happens a lot.
That's
so
beautiful.
I just wanted to share
this.
What a beautiful example.
Paula,
yes.
Thank you. Paula, I think this is the exact company Jesus wants us to find, the Holy Spirit. This is the one. He's the one with whom we never feel alone. Have you ever had this feeling when you are in the middle of a crowd?
Oh God!
And you feel lonely. When you feel lonely.
Kidding?
When you are in a family gathering,
yeah.
And it happened to me so often. Like I think it's my family. Come on, it's my family. But I don't feel like they are my family. They are totally. You know, different people, you know, they have a totally different interests. And
yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is the one, is the exact company Jesus wants us to find. So that's what you did, Paula, and it worked, yeah?
It never fails to work. I'm just not always willing to be in that place where I say, I'm not doing this. I'm handing this over.
That's amazing.
But, you know, when I am in that place, it happens, and it's, but these are the things I think that keep us going in the direction
yeah.
of the Holy Spirit.
Definitely. It's, you reminded me of the word vigilance and how the Course talks, you know, about us having vigilance. We've been very vigilant for learning this ego thought system, and now we're being asked to use that same vigilance, having given that to Spirit on behalf of our waking up. And so what you said, Paula, about that, you know, that fluctuating where sometimes you don't want to, you know, go in that direction, we're through our vigilance, we're when we're willing, catching ourselves more and more frequently, ultimately to realize that we don't need to be vigilant at all because truth just is. It just is.
Now, here's another thing. You're using this word vigilance. When I go online and do the workbook lesson, it's always followed by Sarah's response to the – do you know about Sarah? Well, at any rate, her response is always quite amazing. And she – I'll just read this one sentence and then I'll stop. How do we recognize the thoughts that keep us out of peace? We simply need to look with willingness, vigilance, and total responsibility. We are not used to looking at our thoughts, but by looking without judging them, we can become very practiced and acknowledging them and turning them over to Holy Spirit. We can learn to question every thought that shows up and choose not to invest in it with truth. The ego, and choose not to invest it with truth. That just doesn't sound right. The ego lies. The people and situations in our lives will give us lots of opportunities to bring forward our unhealed thoughts. Everything and everyone become a symbol of our mind. For our minds, allowing us to look at the thoughts we hold. I just thought, I don't know, when I read that, see, when I can keep in touch with the material and these kind of readings, it just keeps me in that right direction. But you really do have to be vigilant.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about knowing. When our mind, Maria Felipe, who I love, calls it caca thoughts. So when we wander into our caca thoughts, if we don't have that awareness, that vigilance to notice it and to say, oh, there I go again, you know, again, all we need is that tiny willingness at that point to say, I choose again. You know, I'm willing to have another thought come to me. We need to be vigilant for our caca thoughts because otherwise we just get, it's like, I've said this before. It's like, you know, you take one step in the direction of judgment in whatever form that may be, and then it's like you're sitting on the railing of a spiral staircase and you just slide right down and you don't even realize that, boom, you're fully back in the thick of ego muck. So
yes.
It's that vigilance that we need. We need that.
Corinne, can I
yeah.
say something? This is Sue.
Please.
When you were in were you able, when you were in your anxiety, to hand over feelings, or did you have to get to the point where your feelings became thoughts? Because sometimes I don't have thought. I just have this reaction of contraction and, you know, that intense, you know the feeling. It's just like overwhelmed of suppression and negativity and all of that.
Yeah.
Were you able
Absolutely.
To?
Whatever arises in your experience, whether it's a feeling or a thought, it's the same thing. It's yes, just being willing to look at that with Holy Spirit, whatever is arising, or hand it over, whatever words it is that you want to use. Because really, our conscious thoughts that we're aware of are already symbols that we're using to describe an experience, if that makes sense. So going straight to the feeling that happens even before the words is absolutely something to take to Holy Spirit too. So yes, definitely.
Yeah, I can let go of it and feel relief, and then about 2 minutes later, feel it again.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote in my journal today. I said, "What is going?" And I got this response: is you are trying to make yourself feel unreal. That is your basic fear. You feel unreal when you are in this state.
And you are.
Yeah. And that is what's fearful for you. Not the feeling, not the bodily sensation, that you feel like you are not real.
Yep.
And I thought, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't feel real. I feel like I'm, I don't know what. I just don't feel real. Like everybody else is watching TV and laughing, and I'm over there.
So look at this, though. I actually have a segment in my book about this, because two of the criteria in the DSM, which is the book that gets used in psychology and psychiatry and counseling to, you know, give diagnoses, two of the criteria for anxiety are feelings of derealization and depersonalization, meaning feelings of unreality and feelings that, like, you're not yourself, like you're not your body. And guess what? So if we don't have a context, this is the beauty of what the Course is giving us, is that it's giving us a context for what it is that we're going through. And this is why my learning the holy relationship lately, the Course has been so helpful, because it gives us a context to understand what it is that we're going through. So if we have those feelings of unreality and feelings that, you know, we're not real, whatever that feeling may be, not having the backbone of the Course, how scary is that? Even if we have the backbone of the Course, it might still feel, those feelings might still be scary. And that's okay. Our task then is to look at those feelings with the Holy Spirit, to say, okay, this feeling is coming up, it's scaring me, and I'm willing to look at this with you, because I know I had those feelings when I was in the thick of the anxiety early on, and it would cause me to retreat back into fear, meaning, oh, I don't want to not be real, like, let me, like, you know, focus on my body or go do, you know, something to make me feel real again. And I don't know if this is part of your experience, this is just, you know, this was part of mine. That's, what is that, but just a reflection of our fear of God's love. The Course says, I opened this at random today, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. Beneath the ego's foundation, so beneath the fear and guilt that the Course says is in the mind, is an even greater fear, and that's our fear of God's love. That's our fear of love, which is crazy, right? It sounds absolutely nuts, but if we touch God's love, we're going to instantly be like, oh, I don't need this anymore. Like, there's nothing else that can come close to that. And the ego part of the mind is terrified of that. So it was actually really comforting to me to be reminded that, hey, like, I'm just afraid of love again. Like, I've just backed off from love again. And, you know, that sounds nuts, because it is, but that's what the Course is saying is going on here. So it's just
would love
a reminder.
In that situation be peace?
I'm sorry, what was that, Paula?
Would love in that situation be peace?
Like being afraid of peace?
Yeah, because when you're in that state of anxiety, I mean, what are you lacking?
Right, peace.
You want to be at peace.
It's the peace of God, though. It's not just the peace of the ego, which is like, oh, I just want everything, you know, I want all my ducks in a row, and I want everything to look nice and be happy. Like, it's not that kind of peace. It's the peace of God, and that's absolutely the love of God. It's the same. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Can I ask you just one thing here? Because you're talking about feelings, and the thing that always pops into my mind is the Course says it's your thoughts alone that cause you pain. So the thoughts are, I mean, can you have a feeling without a thought?
No, you know, they're usually repetitive thoughts, like I can't. They're like
right.
Like
and
like
but see, that's where it becomes really powerful for me, because when I, like today, as I said, I was feeling lonely. Well, why was I feeling lonely? Because I was having this thought, you know, oh, hell, I have nobody to play with today. There's nothing going on. And that thought brought about, you know, that kind of, that anxiety. So it was like, oh, I'm not thinking that way. I choose not to think that way. I choose to give those thoughts to Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, the more willing we can be to do that, the shifts that take place are just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. You know, the Course says that we are thought and that that's hard for us to accept. The Course, I don't remember the exact quote or where it is, but it says that, you know, that you find it hard to believe that just like, you know, a thought of God, you are a thought also. But there's a difference between that being our truth, that we are a thought, and the surface ego thoughts on our mind.
Yeah.
Those surface ego thoughts on the mind can certainly create us, you know, make us feel certain ways, and so we can work with those thoughts. But there's also, you know, the thought of God, the fact that we are thought, when I scratch the surface of what that means, that to me comes through as a feeling. And it's not a surface feeling either. It's like a deep, resonant, joyful song, and that's the best that I can describe it.
And
so I just wanted to distinguish that there with thoughts.
But
there's
we are
thoughts
literally
that we
thoughts,
think we think, and our real thoughts.
We are literally thoughts in the mind of God. Now, how powerful is that? And that's where it always comes down to. Well, would God be thinking this? And that's what clears it up for me right away. No, God would not be thinking, you have nobody to play with today.
Right.
But see,
God,
when you're... Oh, go ahead.
See, that's where the openness comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And that's why all of a sudden I had all of these little playmates this evening and had such a good time. Because God wants us to be happy. He wants us to connect.
Yeah. And if I can just add one more thing, you know, the whole thing of like what comes first, a thought or a feeling, there's different philosophies and different beliefs about that, but the thoughts that we think are symbols that are like removed from direct experience. Like, okay, I'm going to give you a gross example, but this actually came from a session, a wonderful session that I had with John Mark Stroud. When you have to take a crap, it's a feeling. Like, there's no thought that you have to stop and think, like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. It's pure feeling. It's a pure sensation that comes through. And so the thoughts that we think, the words that we use are symbols to describe, you know, something that happens before that. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Okay.
Brian,
so,
you were saying?
No,
Igor,
only,
yeah. Do you have anything?
Yeah,
oh, that
only
was Brian.
That,
thank you, Brian.
Yeah, only when you're in the midst of it with anxiety that it can be so difficult to pull yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And,
definitely.
And I wanna,
would like to add. Sure.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Because it's all about happiness. It's all about happiness. Being vigilant. This in previous section we read was called the little willingness. It's about willingness to be happy. So how much tolerant you are to feel grief, feel despair, feel anger, loneliness, like all those low vibrations, right? Negative emotions. And that's what the, what this vigilance is all about that Paula, you were talking about. So when we are, how much willing we are to be happy. So you, Paula, thought this thought that you have no one to, no company. And this is a low vibration, right? This is negative feeling. So that's it triggered your vigilance that, oh, no, I'm feeling up, I feel down, but I want to feel up. I want to be happy. So, yeah, Holy Spirit, if I feel down, it means I'm listening to the wrong teacher. Please guide my thoughts. And also what you were saying later, Paula, absolutely beautiful, that really it means that we are thinking the thoughts that are not aligned with the thoughts of God, yeah? That we are not aligned with thinking of God, because God's will for me is perfect happiness, lesson 101. So when I feel bad, it means I'm thinking the thoughts that are not coming from God. So yeah, it's all about happiness, how much happy we want to be, and that gives us vigilance. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Corinne?
Yes, Corinne.
I wanted to say something because that really resonated with me, the conversation that you had with about relieving yourself, and that is just a feeling that happens. What really is clear to me in that is when you have that feeling that you have to relieve yourself, you don't have a story behind it. There is no I there thinking of what I have to do. It's just happening. It's just the experience. And without attaching to the experience, still feeling it, but not having an ego, an I person there, you just, life just goes on and continues. And I think that's the same way with pain or with happiness. Without the I person making up the story about it, which is the ego, which is the person that doesn't even really exist, things just happen. And there is basically no judgment. There's no judgment. Things just occur without us getting in the way, without us, what the mind has manufactured us to be, getting in the way of everything.
Right. Beautiful. Thank you, Meg.
Well, I think that's how that whole thing occurred with me today, because I had no idea whatsoever. I had no judgment on how I was going to connect with anybody or how it should look or how it should happen. There was none of that. When you hand it over to the Holy Spirit, trust is essential, you know? It doesn't even...
Yeah, and letting go of the story, that's powerful.
And that's, you know, that jives with exactly what Sue just said.
Definitely. I want to share one more thing about this paragraph, and then we're going to move on. Actually, no, I'm going to share two more things. Brian, your comment about, you know, how hard it is to pull yourself out when you're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
When I was in the thick of it, I would literally, like, open up my course book at random and just start reading until I found something that brought up peace in me, until I found something that I could, like, hang onto. So that was just one of the things that I did when I was in the thick of it that I felt moved to share. The other thing that I want to share, sort of in line with that, this first sentence that we read in this paragraph, when you feel the holiness of your relationship is threatened by anything, stop instantly and offer the, this is the key, offer the Holy Spirit your willingness, in spite of fear, to let him exchange this instant for the Holy One which you would rather have. So this is where, when I was also in the thick of it, I would get to work. I realized that it wasn't about doing the course when I felt good, you know, like just like gritting my teeth and getting through the tough times, and then when things felt better, then I turn back to this and do this. I would, in the thick of it, almost dig my heels in, it felt like, and be like, I am, you know, reading this until I find something I can grab onto, whatever it is. It's about offering Holy Spirit our willingness in spite of the fear. So even during, you know, the fear, during it, the midst of it, doing this work then. So that sentence, I have it underlined a few times because it struck me as important.
Wow. That's great.
Let's read the next paragraph. I'm determined to read at least two paragraphs tonight. All right. Whichever is saner, I think it says whoever is saner. Yeah, it says whoever is saner in FIP. Whichever or whoever is saner at the time when the threat is perceived should remember how deep is his indebtedness to the other and how much gratitude is due him, and be glad that he can pay his debt by bringing happiness to both. Let him remember this and say, I desire this holy instant for myself, that I may share it with my brother whom I love. It is not possible that I can have it without him, or he without me. Yet it is wholly possible for us to share it now. And so I choose this instant as the one to offer to the Holy Spirit, that his blessing may descend on us and keep us both in peace. Beautiful.
What if you don't have someone that you're doing the course with?
I'm sorry, what was that, Sue?
What if you don't have someone who is doing the course with you and you're in
that
state?
That's okay.
But it says whoever is the saner. What if you're around nobody that's sane?
Well, this is where Holy Spirit will speak through. Other people can be in their right mind, you know, without necessarily being on this path. And it's very possible that Holy Spirit will speak through others, and they might not realize it, and maybe we won't realize it at the time. But I don't think that, you know, the other person has to be on the same path.
And they
don't
need
for
to be saying those specific words.
Exactly.
Okay, because the Holy Spirit is saying it through them.
Exactly.
Okay.
This is where, too, it's really helpful, where these calls are really helpful, where, you know, if you do find somebody who is a course student, this doesn't have to be with, you know, a partner or even a family member or anything to do this type of work with. So some kind of Course in Miracles, you know, partner or buddy, if anybody ever felt moved to do that, I could certainly help facilitate that. But, you know, just to have someone to share with who's studying this course, even if it's on Facebook, you know, social media being given to the Holy Spirit is a beautiful thing. So
that would be great. I'd love that.
Yep, me too.
Tell you what, if you're interested in being paired up with a partner, and this goes to anybody even listening to this recording at a later date, just email me. And so I heard Sue and Brian so far. Just email me, and I'll facilitate that. I'll connect people.
Great.
Okay.
And I think this whoever is saner thing means that when we forgive someone, for example, when we apply genuine forgiveness, when we have some kind of a conflict with someone, and we join with the Holy Spirit and apply genuine forgiveness to this situation, this person may still be you know, angry, may still be upset or something. But we don't have to feel bad about it, and we don't have to convince him, you know, look at this book and learn this forgiveness practice. This is not what we have to do. And the Holy Spirit will hold his part of this process of this genuine forgiveness until this person is ready. Okay, so that's why I guess this is what it's talking about.
Beautiful. Thank you. That was helpful.
Igor, this is Meg. I just wanted to thank you for the information about forgiveness, the paragraphs that you gave me last week.
Really?
I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm glad it's helpful.
Yay. Let's keep reading. So we're starting a new section here in the Sparkle and Original Edition. It's called Dreams and the Body. In FIP, it's called Beyond the Body. There is nothing outside you. That is what you must ultimately learn, for it is the realization that the kingdom of heaven is restored to you. For God created only this, and he did not depart from it, nor leave it separate from himself. The kingdom of heaven is the dwelling place of the Son of God, who left not his Father, and dwells not apart from him. Heaven is not a place nor a condition. It is merely an awareness of perfect oneness, and the knowledge that there is nothing else, nothing outside this oneness, and nothing else within.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it? It certainly blows the childhood, or maybe not so childhood, but picture of heaven, you know, being up in the clouds and up in the sky, and that it's somewhere else. I love that. It's merely an awareness of perfect oneness.
And it also fits in with what you were saying about the context, the oneness having the correct context.
Right, right. Yeah, it does help describe that.
This is definitely one of the most profound statements in the whole text. There is nothing outside you, really. So
yes.
Those jerks are not separate from us. They are only reflecting our own thinking, our own thoughts, our own guilt in our mind. And so by forgiving them, we are forgiving ourselves. This is very powerful.
I also just
go on.
I was just going to say, just adding on to what Igor was saying, is that when I hear the passages about heaven, and I'm just so touched by, I really feel that the Course is like a map showing us the way that heaven is here now. It's not something that we are aspiring to get to later. It's like with these practices and these tools, we're being shown that heaven is now, like the state of mind is possible now. So I don't know, I just wanted to share that. So.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Deidre.
That's really
Sue, did you have something to add?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, my background is Christianity, and I think of the verse where it says, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is spread upon the earth, and people see it not. And he says, when you read something, you will know that I am in you and you are in me. He was saying the very same thing back then, and it's been taking, 2,000 years, but we weren't ready. We were just not ready. We weren't.
Beautiful.
I don't know.
You're gonna have to think. Go on.
I have a kind of sharing, quick, maybe not so quick sharing. Me and my girlfriend were playing with regressions, past lifetime regression sessions. We are doing it to each other. and a lot of interesting stuff comes up. And very recently, a few days ago, I was doing to her this thing on abundance, you know, on abundance. And I asked her in this kind of state, you know, when she was a bit in a trance, I asked her, imagine yourself in total abundance, like very rich, very abundant. And she said, I see a world, beautiful world, kind of absolutely beautiful world. And I look, but I'm outside of this world, and a glass wall prevents me from going there. And I asked her, why can't you walk there? She said, because I will ruin the harmony there. You see, this is unconscious guilt. We think we're unworthy to go back to heaven. Yeah, what Course explains. So I asked her, I asked her if there are other people in this world. She said, yes, they are very happy and they play round delays, you know, in circles. They hold each other's hands and they work in circles, you know, round delays. So, and so I asked her, so you see there are people there and they don't ruin the harmony, right? So why don't you walk there? Come in. And she imagined herself there. She said, yeah, I'm there. I'm very happy. And we play there. And a few moments after that, she said, now I'm in the flow. Now I'm in the stream, kind of. Now I'm in the flow, you know. And I started asking her silly questions like, oh, what is this flow? What is this, you know, is it healing you? Is it filling you up or is it healing you? You know, what was it doing? she kept being quiet and quiet. And I kept asking her these silly questions. And then she started laughing and then said, oh, you talk so much. You know, like, why didn't you let me just stay in this flow? She said, I couldn't even talk about this flow. I couldn't explain it. It was just this flow, you know, this oneness. So what this paragraph says, it is merely an awareness of perfect oneness and the knowledge that there is nothing else, nothing outside this oneness and nothing else within. You know, this one focus, oneness, isness, you know. You cannot even talk about it because you would have to go outside this oneness to talk about it, and you would have to have someone else to talk to, you know, to tell about this one, you know. It is not oneness already. So she just wanted to stay in this oneness, in this flow, and it was totally joyous for her. And I totally broke her fun. So this is how fun it is, and that's why it is unexplainable. Yeah, Jesus also talks a lot in ACIM that we cannot even talk about it. It cannot be explained. But that's what we're going for.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Thank you, Igor. That's a great, great example, great story. Was there anybody else that wanted to share? I wanted to say something. Okay, I'm up next in the queue. something before, I don't remember now what it was. It was two shares ago from you, Igor. You said something that sparked this in me, that unconscious guilt in the mind, the easiest way to see it, we can see it all the time if we're willing, is the moment when we start blaming another person. It's become so clear to me that the moment I blame, the moment I say to my husband, you should be, I've used this example before, like you should be, you know, cutting that raw chicken differently than you're doing it, or chopping that pepper a different, whatever the silly, stupid little example is, the moment we blame and point the finger at another, that's a reflection of our inability to tolerate this fear and guilt in the mind, so we project it out on another. So this has been huge for me recently in seeing that urge to want to blame, no matter how small the blame game goes, that's a reflection of my, you know, that's my projecting my guilt onto another person, because I'd rather see it in them than acknowledge that it's in me. And just by seeing that, again, all I have to do is be willing to look at that with Holy Spirit. So that's been
And Corinne, you know what
thing.
The root of that is?
What's
the
that?
Root of that is judgment.
Of course. Of course. Yes, 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 yes. So how about we...
By the way, Corinne, let me ask
yeah.
you a question. If you have... What do you think about past lifetime regression sessions? Because such things as this anxiety things, people, you know, try regression sessions to, you know, to find out where it was the very first time you experienced it. Have you tried it?
You know, I haven't. I think it's really neat. Have I tried it? Maybe. No, I don't know if I had a therapist once try that with me. It's interesting because, you know, the course has, it doesn't take a stance on reincarnation. And I think it's certainly, if it's something you feel moved to do, do it, you know, explore it. It wasn't something that I really felt moved to get into because my anxiety, I knew that whatever mistake maybe I started making in another lifetime, I was still doing it now because I still didn't have the peace now. But I do have to say that Brian Weiss wrote that book, Many Lives, Many Masters. That was one of my very first spiritual books that I read, and that was a patient who started, her symptoms started clearing up of, I think, anxiety and depression and lots of issues when they started doing these past life regressions. So it's very interesting, and his book, if you haven't read it, it's an awesome, awesome read. It's called Many Lives, Many Masters.
You have another way.
Thank you.
I'm not sure who spoke first, so we'll go Sue, then Meg.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be very careful who you went to for that. That, you know, you could be led into all sorts of memories and all sorts of things that are not true for you. I would really be very cautious before
And that's where, it. Yeah, that's where I feel like it's a very individual mm-hmm. decision. Meg, did you have something to add?
Also, when I look at it, because I was thinking, it's so funny, I was thinking about that for some reason, and my thought was, what that is just more stories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the mind is, so we really don't understand the mind at all. We don't understand the mechanism and what the mind can do, because a lot of times when people are saying someone has died and had an out-of-body experience and has come back, technically that the mind may not even be dead. It's just that our tools for measuring the life of the mind, the brain, might not be able to pick up on the smaller nuances of life that's still going on in the mind and the brain, and it's still working. So these things we really, really don't know about. And ultimately, what I think of is more stories, more things, more. And ultimately, what we want to get down to is not multiple branches, but just the one branch, the source.
Right.
Yeah. That's true. I had an out-of-body experience in my classroom, so you don't have to be dead. Sitting at my desk.
Cool.
I saw the world from the universe and everything. So yeah, I was sitting right at my desk.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. My stepdad had a similar type of experience during broad daylight where suddenly everything appeared to him as if it was just like cardboard cutouts, and he just saw the unreality of all these, you know, holographic 3D images that we think, you know, that we become identified with. So
yeah.
Very cool. Thank you. We have 3 minutes left. I'm actually feeling like, why don't we pause there and we'll pick up with this next week. So we're not going to do any more reading. Does anybody else feel moved to share?
Just something really quick about past life regression, because I have offered this work before with people. And it's basically just, you know, spirit has shown me that it's just another way of looking at beliefs, just like we do on these calls. Mm. It's just another way of looking at these beliefs. And the trick is not to get caught up in the story and want to start reliving the story. What benefit does this have to bring forth? You know, like what can I see or be shown in the belief in certain things? That's what the benefit of it is, as far as I've been shown from spirit. So
Totally agree with you, Dietrich, because I agree with you, Corinne, and Sue, what you were saying, that it might be, you know, misleading, might be just, you know, wasting time. But if you use it the right way, because how I encountered it, because I had this trouble, I told you, with my 6 jobs in 2 years in 3 different towns, yeah? And so I hated those bosses, okay? And I realized that I hate my president, my government too, and I had troubles with my father. So all hierarchs throughout my whole life, I had troubles with them, and most of them I totally hate. Okay, so I came to the therapist, and he told me, okay, embrace now this feeling, this emotion, what you feel to Putin, for example, yeah? And okay, I did this, and he just asked me one simple question. When did you experience this feeling the very first time? When was the very first time you experienced it? He didn't even ask me to go out of my body, to go out of the previous lifetimes, anything. But he just gave me this one simple question, and I saw myself in St. Petersburg in the beginning, the time, judging on the surroundings, in the beginning of 20th century, and I was a Secret Service officer, and I'm signing a document, an order. Okay, I'm making this. I'm making a sign on some document, on some order, and it's a list of innocent people who are going to be murdered. Okay, so I was involved in mass murder, innocent people during the Soviet repressions in the beginning of 20th century. Okay, and I was kind of a military officer. And I was serving to my government, you know, but they forced me to participate in mass murder innocent people. And that's when I first started hating my hierarchs, you see, because I was loving them so much, I was serving them so much. I saw actually that many past lifetimes I spent as a military person, you know, as a warrior, and serving to politicians, serving to generals. And I saw that, you know, he asked me another question. The therapist asked me second beautiful question. He asked me, why did this situation happen to this officer? Why it happened to him? And I saw that serving to generals and politicians was my idol. Okay, it was my idol. It was my substitution for God's love. So I was like a Doberman. I was like a Doberman. I was willing to you know, I was with my master, with my general, with my politician. I was like, you know, like a dog, like dogs do. But when this my master point his finger and say, kill him, I was willing to kill anyone, any of their enemy. You know, and so I spent many lifetimes serving this idol. And in that, my past lifetime, I spent many years. I was kind of a big officer, not too big, but, you know, so and then it comes this dissatisfaction, you know. So I got disappointed in this idol. I was trying to squeeze the juice out of this idol, God's love, substitution for God's love from this idol, for so many lifetimes. And I got disappointed. And Jesus in a Course, he says, you will attack what doesn't satisfy. So we start hating this idol. We feel betrayed by this idol to which we were obeying, okay? And so I thought, you idol, I've been serving you for so long. I've been loving you for, you know, so much. And you betrayed me. You betrayed me. This idol have betrayed me. And those ideas of being betrayed by my idol later were projected as this whole situation where literally my idol betrayed me by forcing me to kill innocent people whom I was supposed to protect, you see. So it was kind of a huge story. I know I don't think we have so much time for that, but, you know, it was kind of so powerful, such a big thing in my, you know, spiritual journey, that, and that's why I started to try to do it on my own, because it helped me so much. So yeah, thank you.
Cool. Thank you, Igor. What a beautiful then opportunity to look at it all with Holy Spirit and to have Holy Spirit now be your master.
Yes, yes, definitely.
But in a sense, isn't that what really we're all doing on some level?
Yeah,
some
absolutely, 100%.
Absolutely, it is. It doesn't matter which.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So it's so apropos. Thanks for bringing it up, because, you know, you don't even realize you're doing it when you're doing it.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And the same thing for anxiety, right?
Yeah.
And, but that's what brings about anxiety.
Yeah.
That's what brings about anxiety. I had a fleeting thought this afternoon in a conversation about, you know, the work that I do, and how I said I'm going to retire next year, and the background noise was like fear instantly. Oh, I'll be nothing when I'm not doing that any longer. That's the ego. That's the voice. And if you're not aware of it, you just keep repeating the same garbage night and day.
Yes.
Right.
You know it.
Yep. Thank goodness
that
they can choose again.
That job does not define me.
Fine,
no,
I think you and I will be a good match.
Yeah.
What? Say it again.
Yes,
what?
You're matched. You're officially your buddies. You're matched. I'll get you both connected over email. All right, everybody. I love you all. Thank you so much for joining together for our call tonight. And
we
I will
love
see
you
all next week.
Thank you, family. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hi, Carla. Bye, Carla.
Hi. Bye.
Hi, Carla.
Hey, sweetie.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.